into retirement. I planned to die with my boots on, so I took them off, began to drive everywhere. But my tires blew out, and I had to retire. Then the state of Texas declared me too blind to drive. Now I ride a rocking chair. I got from Charlie the Trader for $30. I'm sitting in the rocking chair with my boots on, the boots I got from Bobby for a song. I hear a voice singing, come and follow me.
You just heard a poem from Gene Keller. National Poetry Month, which takes place each April, is a celebration of poetry introduced in 1996 and organized by the Academy of American Poets as a way to increase awareness and appreciation of poetry in the United States. Today, we have two poets with us to talk about poetry and how they help develop upcoming poets through the Tumble Words Project. Today, my guests are poets Robin Schofield and Gene Keller. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Gracias. Thank you.
So, what is the most important thing that each one of you thinks people should know about A, poets, and then B, poetry?
They say that poets are made, not born. And I happen to be one who was born and made by studying with UTEP professor Robert Burlingame and getting my master's here. What was the second question?
Poetry. What people should know about poetry.
How much time do we have? I think it's a natural expression in everybody. Some people are better at it than others. Some just don't give up. I'm 70 and I'm one of those. And I think for me, being part of a writing community, Tumble Words Project, which has been in existence for 25 years, Robin?
At least 20.
And you mentioned earlier young poets. What's a joy to me is seeing someone who's just starting out on their journey, whether they're 15 or 35, starting out on this writing journey, and see them just get better just by sitting every week with other – and it's not necessarily poets. Many of them are fiction writers and memoirists or just list makers.
Mm-hmm. Wordsmiths.
List makers, yeah. But the joy for me is seeing them over time sitting with other writers, and you write – and you read, and there's no judgment, but you listen to what other people are doing, and that's one of the ways, you know, you listen and then you mimic.
That's true. So who did you mimic, Gene, when you were starting out?
I would say Robert Bly.
That's
was probably my strongest influence. W.S. Merwin, those guys that were about 20 years older than I was when I was coming of age in the 70s.
And Robin, what about for you? Poetry, and a poet.
I also think that poets are both born and made. I think I was born a poet. I wrote my first poem when I was 7 years old.
What was it about?
It was about a robin.
Fancy
that. I had this identity crisis already, so.
They say write what you know about.
Right. Right. So, but I think also that it's too bad that people think they don't like poetry anymore when they grow up, because when we were kids, we all loved poetry.
Shel Silverstein, for me, is the guy I grew up with.
Yeah, he's a great poet. He really is. Yeah.
And what do you think people should know about poetry itself?
Just not to be afraid of it. Just let the words kind of flow over you and don't try to analyze it too much. As Billy Collins said, don't tie it to a chair and force a confession out of it.
Makes perfect sense. So being a poet is not an easy road. You both said you were born poets, so the road chose you. Can you tell us about your journeys as poets?
Well, as I said, I started out when I was 7 years old, and I kept at it pretty much. I never kept a regular diary or anything, but just when the inspiration would take me, I would write. I would always have something to write down. I remember when I was a teenager staying up late at night and writing things down. And then when I was in college, I started getting some mentors and publication. And one of my mentors was Richard Howard, who was a friend of W.S. Merwin, who I was also really influenced by. He's a really wonderful poet. and one of our
the
best poet in the United States. That's correct.
That's our opinion.
Yeah,
he's our
hero. Yeah.
And he's what, 85 now or something?
Mm-hmm. He's quite old now. Yeah.
Still writing?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And for you, Gene, how's your journey looking?
Well, I have two children, and when they were 3, 4, 5 years old, both of them, my daughter and my son, would spontaneously make up poems and songs just every day. And so that's why I think it's a natural expression of human experience. I remember writing my first song, and for me, because I'm also a musician, song and poetry are really the same. Mm. I wrote my first song when I was 8 years old. It was in the springtime, and I was walking out and just, you know, making up something about birds and flowers and the grass and trees and whatever. And probably the most influential person other than my poetry mentor was my freshman English teacher, Texas Western College, January 1966, Mrs. Kokoza. And somewhere during that semester, she asked one of her responses, "Are you a poet?" And I said, "Oh, I've written some verses." She says, "Don't worry, you will be."
Ah, she told you.
Yeah. It took me a long time. It took me until I was 40 to have the ganas to say I'm a poet.
Well, it is kind of a lofty thing to say I'm a poet. It's, you know, artists have a hard time saying they are artists or writers, but when did you arrive at, or how did you arrive? I mean, I know you said you were 40, but what about you, Robin? When were you like, this is it?
Well, when I was in college, and I've tried to write other things, but I just can't seem to write anything that's other than poetry. I can't even really write prose poems very well, I don't think.
Let's talk about the Tumble Words Project and really how you all are helping influence each other's work. But then there's this other part of new writers that kind of come in and out of the group and how that dynamic works. It seems like it's kind of open, and really the idea is just kind of get the bravery to go, and then after that you all take over.
Right. It's the whole idea is just to come there and practice, you know, practice writing and get the pen moving across the page, because that is the hardest thing, is sitting down in front of that blank piece of paper or that blank screen and saying, okay, now I have to write. And somehow when you have a presenter who's showing you a painting or playing you some music or showing a video or reading a poem or a short story or something, somehow when everybody else is sitting there writing, you can do it too, and it's not so scary.
And then we
then you
read.
Have to read it out loud, though.
That's
the scary part of Tumble
That's the scary
words.
Part. But there's got to be a scary part to
it. But you've got to hear yourself saying it.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever self-edit as you read? I mean, I think reading
absolutely.
Out loud for some
absolutely.
Reason just
yes.
helps you find that doesn't sound right.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So each one of you is giving a workshop on a different weekend. Will you tell us about your workshop and where and how?
Yes, in a little while at 12:45 at Memorial Park Public Library on Copper Avenue, we'll have Viva Flores giving the Mind's Embroidery. And Viva has given several lively workshops for us. She's a Chicana Apache poet and essayist, and she's from El Paso, and she's making her name known in the poetry world.
Yeah, there's a fire around her, isn't there?
Yes. Then next week we have Sarah Walker on April 9th, and she's a spoken word poet. She's founder and director of the Frontera Poetry Slam, and she does a lot of things in the barbed wire open mic. Her poetry workshop is called Blackout Poetry, The Art of Remembering.
And then you're giving one, Robin, on the 23rd.
Yes, I'm giving one on the 23rd. That happens to be Shakespeare's birthday. So I don't want to scare anybody, but we're going to do 3 of Shakespeare's sonnets.
And didn't he also die on that date?
Yes, he did. That's true. So it's Shakespeare's birthday and death day. So we're going to do 3 sonnets, and we don't have to write a sonnet. I'm not making anybody do that. We're just going to look at how Shakespeare uses some metaphors and try to do some metaphors like he does.
And are sonnets your thing?
I love sonnets. Yes, that's true.
And I think, the poem we'll hear later from you as we exit is a sonnet.
That's it. Yes, it's a sonnet.
Now, Gene, tell us about your workshop on the 30th.
It's called The Breath of Character, And I've been interested in breaths, probably because I'm a singer, but particularly various traditions of breathing and meditation that can then be used to, well, those processes either energize the voice, and maybe you get a longer line in that breath, say like Whitman, or if it's a more calming, the Irish have this tradition of you breathe in five and hold it five and breathe out five and hold it five, and you do this very slowly five times, and then the breath that you use for the poem is different, and it's a lot more empty space between the words and the lines even. That night on the 30th of April, mm-hmm. Saturday night, at the Rock House, will be from Pueblo, Colorado. The main feature will be
Juan Morales, and he's the editor of Pilgrimage and directs the creative writing program at Colorado State University, Pueblo.
So this is where it all comes together, and plus, this is where the big celebration is.
All the presenters for that month will also be secondary level featured readers. And then there will be an open mic. Do we have the address for the Rock House?
Yes, it's at 400 West Overland.
Downtown in the arts area.
And that's going to be the culmination of National Poetry Month at the Rock House.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, you can see both of our guests today, poets Jean Keller and Robin Schofield. And now we leave you with a sonnet by Robin Schofield.
The Garden State in May. After artificial insemination, then a late-term abortion. My sister hacks through frozen ground to plant her sculptured roses around the chestnut trees. Directions say each fall to dig up, unplant, and late in spring to raise these topiaries, to overwinter, bury them in hay, to insulate the naked taproots twisting into trunks, crowns upped for a warm day, not winter snow in light severely slanting. At 40, Stacy had her first child with spina bifida taken from her womb. We talk of spades. This spring's freezing cold and throw Miracle-Gro down the holes. In June, raspberries green in the woods start to ripen, but it's too dark to go and look for them.